Well, go ahead and turn over to Acts chapter 17 in your Bible this morning, Acts 17. We're going to look specifically at verses 1 through 15 in our time this morning. This is part 23 of the sermon series that we're going through as we go through the book of Acts together, Acts to the ends of the earth, part 23. So we're getting there, slowly but surely, but we still got a little ways to go. But today we're going to be focusing in on Acts 17, verses 1 through 15. I read a really neat story this week about a missionary to Africa. And this missionary was telling a story of an elderly woman who was reached with the gospel there in Africa. And though she was blind and could not read or write, she wanted to share her newfound faith with others. And so she went to this missionary and she asked for a copy of the Bible in French because their area there spoke French. And when she got it, she asked the missionary to underline John 3:16, underline it in red, and mark the page that it was on so she could find it easily. And so the missionary wanted to see what she was going to do with this. And so one day he followed this woman. And in the afternoon, just before school let out, she made her way to the front door of a local school for boys there. And as the boys began to come out when school was dismissed, she would stop one of them and ask them if he knew how to read French. And when he said yes, she would ask him to read the verse that was marked in red. And then she would ask, "Do you know what this means?" And she would tell them about Christ, even though she herself couldn't read. The missionary said that 24 of these schoolboys that lady led to the Lord became local pastors in that community. You know, we as Christians have been given the wonderful, wonderful gift of sharing the gospel. Jesus, right before he ascended back into heaven, he said, "Go into all the world and make disciples of every nation," in Matthew chapter 28. But guys, before we can make disciples, we have to share the gospel first. That's first and foremost. And our passage this morning helps us to know some of the things that we need to realize when sharing the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. As we're going to see in the instances that Paul and Silas went through in this time, some of these same things apply to us today. So let's read the scripture together. Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 15. It says, "Then they traveled through Amphipolis and Apollonia and came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As usual, Paul went to the synagogue and on three Sabbath days reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and showing that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Messiah. Then some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, including a great number of God-fearing Greeks, as well as a number of the leading women. But the Jews became jealous, and they brought together some scoundrels from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. Attacking Jason's house, they searched for them to bring them out to the public assembly. When they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some of his brothers before the city officials, shouting, 'These men who have turned the world upside down have come here too, and Jason has received them as guests. They are all acting contrary to Caesar's decrees, saying that there is another king, Jesus.' The Jews stirred up the crowd and the city officials who heard these things, and so taking a security bond from Jason and the others, they released them. As soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas off to Berea. On arrival, they went into the synagogue of the Jews, and the people here were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, since they had welcomed the message with eagerness and examined the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Consequently, many of them believed, including a number of the prominent Greek women as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica found out that God's message had been proclaimed by Paul at Berea, they came there too, agitating and disturbing the crowds. Then the brothers immediately sent Paul away to go to the sea, but Silas and Timothy stayed on there. Those who escorted Paul brought him as far as Athens, and after receiving instructions for Silas and Timothy to come to him as quickly as possible, they departed. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. So there's three things I want to bring out today from the scriptures. We think about sharing the gospel, which is obviously the number one job in our lives as Christians, to share the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. There's some things here that we need to understand that we need to realize when we are sharing the life-changing message of Jesus. And the first thing is this. Number one, and we see this in verses 1-3. Number one, when we share the gospel, we need to meet people where they are. When we share the gospel, we need to meet people where they are. So when coming into a new city, and we've seen this several times in Paul's life and his other companions, they would often go to the synagogues and preach or teach or have discussions about Scripture and the gospel and Jesus, all these good things. Now, let me just say that a synagogue didn't necessarily have to be a building, because a synagogue in that day could exist without a building as long as you had at least 10 Jewish men who gathered for teaching and prayer. And so some of these encounters that Paul had were perhaps smaller groups of people. Some of them were larger churches or larger synagogues, but perhaps some of them were smaller because if you had at least 10 people, that would be considered a synagogue. And so the Bible says that Paul... Now, my scripture specifically says argued with the Jewish men from the scriptures. Now, I looked that word up, and this doesn't mean necessarily that they were shouting and angry at each other, okay? When speaking in the synagogues, it basically means in the Greek language that they were having a discussion, okay? They were having a conversation. Now, it might have been a little animated at times, because we all know that when we are discussing things with people, whatever that situation might be, we all have our opinion and we all believe what we believe strongly. And sometimes, yes, those discussions move a little bit beyond just having a normal conversation. We become a little bit animate and intentional. But it doesn't necessarily mean they were having a knockdown, drag-out argument with these men. They were having a discussion about the gospel. But the thing that jumps out at me here, and in other scriptures, is that Paul met people where they were, not just physically, but also spiritually as well. We're going to get into that in just a few minutes, a little bit more. But he met people where they were. And so here we see when he was speaking in the synagogues, he very wisely began talking about the Old Testament, explaining how the Messiah fulfilled some of these prophecies that these Jewish men knew specifically. They had been taught these. They probably knew them by heart. They knew all these scriptures. And so Paul started there when speaking to these Jewish men about the Messiah, explaining how the Messiah fulfilled scripture there. And listen, that was a good strategy, right? Because these Jews were very familiar with these Old Testament prophecies. And Paul ultimately used these Old Testament scriptures to point these Jews to Christ. He said, these are the scriptures that we've been taught. They point to the Messiah, Jesus. Let me share you a story that really perfectly illustrates this, specifically using the Old Testament to tell people about Jesus. And some of you have seen this video. I've shown it here at church before. But it's about a missionary couple named Mark and Gloria Zook. And they felt God's call to go to be missionaries in Papua New Guinea with New Tribes Missions. And so among arriving in this area, specifically with the Moke people in Papua New Guinea, they realized as they got there that these people had no clue of who Jesus was. They didn't know anything about Jesus at all. And so it would have been very awkward for them to say, let me tell you about this guy Jesus. Who's Jesus? What are you talking about here? It would have been very difficult to start right in with Jesus, because these guys had no concept at all of who Jesus was. And so what they began to do is they began to have daily Bible classes in the village, starting with the story of creation. And so day after day after day, the whole village showed up for these, and there's a documented in this video, and if you want to borrow that from me sometime, I'll let you borrow it. You can also find it on YouTube. But it's day after day after day, they met with this village and began teaching creation and began to work through all the other prophets and all the meaning of sin and the sacrifices that had to be made because of sin. And of course, through that, they began to talk about Jesus being our final sacrifice. The history of God's people, the Mosaic Law, the sacrifices for sin. They went through the entire Old Testament and then into the New Testament Gospels, which of course talk about Jesus being our final sacrifice. And at that point, and you began to see this in the story, they had a firm understanding of their sin and the sacrifice and who Jesus was and their need for a Savior. And as a result, the whole village proclaimed faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And not only that, in the video, when they realized that their sins had been forgiven and Jesus was their sin bearer, the joy, I mean, they spontaneous celebration. I mean, it just overwhelming when you see it. In fact, they picked up Mark Zook, this very unassuming guy, and he was like body surfing. I mean, they had him, and they were so excited about this news. But he started at the beginning and worked his way through. And guys, sometimes we have to start there. We have to realize where people are and start there. And also, in order to reach people with the gospel, we got to be willing to build relationships with them. This means we need to be out and about in our communities looking and praying for opportunities to have conversations about the gospel. Paul and Silas didn't go to the towns and wait for people to come to them. They went where the people were. They prayed about it. And for them, it made sense to go to the synagogues. They looked for opportunities to share the gospel with people. And you know, some of that may happen in the church today, but most of what we do as far as sharing the gospel is probably going to happen outside the walls of this church, right? It's probably going to happen as we're out and about living life, working, going to school, whatever we do. Those are the opportunities that God is going to give us. You know, some of you are probably really big baseball fans, and recently there was a game played a week or so ago between the Yankees and the White Sox. They played the game at the Field of Dreams in Dyersville, Iowa. And some of you probably remember, Dan's got his hand up back there, Iowa guy back there, you know. So some of you probably remember the movie back in 1989. Guess what? I was 19 then. So some of you probably remember the movie starring Kevin Costner, Field of Dreams. And the famous line was, if you build it, he will come. And guys, it's a great movie and it's fun to watch and all. But you know, what we've done in our lives today, especially in the church, we've kind of applied that philosophy to church growth and with sharing the gospel. If you build it, meaning build bigger and better buildings, the people are going to come in. And yeah, that might work for a time, but really, the bottom line is we have to go to where the people are. Just because we have a nice, big, beautiful building, and I'm not saying we shouldn't take care of our building, we should. But just because we have nice facilities does not mean that people are going to come to our church. There are millions and millions and millions of people in America today that church was the last thing on their list. We're not even on their radar. They couldn't care less that we're sitting here today in church because it's not who they are. But how are we going to reach those people? The mission field is outside the walls of this church. That's where the action is. And it's a broken and lost world. And we see it all around us. So guys, in order to share the gospel, we have to meet people where they are. The second thing I want to bring out in the scripture, talked about it in a couple of places, verse 4, and then also in verses 10 through 12. When we share the gospel, we're going to see people at different levels of readiness. When we share the gospel, we're going to see people at different levels of readiness. The Thessalonians, talked about in verse 4, weren't as open to the truth as the Bereans. The Bible says they needed some persuasion, if you will. This means that Paul and Silas probably had to spend a great amount of time reasoning with them, speaking with them, having discussions with them about the gospel. They needed some persuasion. They needed to understand because it didn't click for them. So they needed to take extra time. But the Bereans, mentioned over in verses 12 through 10 through 12, on the other hand, the Bible says they were more open-minded. And because they had a general knowledge of Scripture. And although they didn't know Christ personally yet, they'd already established a very important habit and discipline of reading and studying Scriptures every day. And so unlike the Jews, the Bereans, these guys were quick to receive the message that Paul and Silas brought them. But they didn't take Paul's word for it. The Bible says they searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether or not these things were true, whether so. And because they were already familiar with the Word of God, they saw the truth of Paul's message about Jesus, and they believed on his name a lot more convincingly than the Thessalonians did. And so as we see these two groups of people, we need to understand that people that we know who need Jesus are at all kinds of different levels spiritually. Some are open. Some are maybe even seeking already truth and wanting to know about Jesus and spiritual things. And some need persuasion. And guys, we have to be ready for all types of people. We can't put people into these cookie cutter categories because they really don't exist, because we have so many different philosophies and thoughts in this world in which we live, and people are at all different levels spiritually, and we need to be ready for all types of people. I heard someone once say this: when we try to reach someone in order to share with them the good news of the gospel, we must meet them where they are rather than shout at them from where we are in our walk with Christ. And that is so true. Meet them where we are instead of saying, hey, you need to comply with what I'm saying here because this is what I believe. Guess what? They don't care what you believe. They couldn't care less what you believe, most of them anyway. And so we have to meet people where they are. And let me just say, we are fortunate in America. Most people have heard of Jesus, unlike the Moke people in Papua New Guinea, what I was talking about earlier. Most people know who Jesus was. I mean, most people in America celebrate Christmas, and they ultimately know that Christmas is about Christ. I mean, people aren't stupid. They understand that. Most people probably have a generally pretty positive attitude about who Jesus is. You know, he's for the little guy. You know, he was for the poor. He helped people. And so they have this thought already. And so for us, it's much easier to talk about Jesus or to talk about spiritual things because we can start with Jesus. Just start there. But some people are at different levels. And so we have to meet people where they are. You know, is there someone in your life right now that God has brought to your heart? Perhaps a friend, maybe somebody in your own family that God is calling for you to reach them for Christ. We probably have people that are flooding our minds even now. Let me just say, try to prayerfully and thoughtfully consider the right approach to share the gospel with them. Ask God to help you. Ask for his wisdom. How we reach out to people is very important in creating an open environment in which they may listen rather than a hostile environment where they're going to turn us off. But we need to realize, guys, at the bottom line is there are still going to be some people who reject the message no matter what. No matter what. No matter how we share it, no matter how careful we are or directive we are, no matter what we do, they're just simply not going to respond. That doesn't mean they're a hopeless cause. That doesn't mean they'll never accept Christ. But it may be God's going to use somebody else. But when we share the gospel, we have to understand that people are at different levels spiritually. And then the final thing that I want to mention this morning, the same thing we've talked about a million times already throughout the book of Acts. When we share the gospel, we can expect conflict. When we share the gospel, we can expect conflict. We see conflict happening in verses 5 through 9 with this guy Jason. We don't know much about Jason. He was a follower of Christ. That's all we know. And he was dragged out with other people. There was difficulty because these guys were followers of Christ. Over in verses 13 through 15, we see more conflict. So guys, when we share the gospel, we can expect conflict. And that's something that, unfortunately, we've discussed already on numerous occasions as we've gone through the book of Acts together. And it's no doubt that as Christians, as followers of Christ who stand upon the Word of God, that people get angry with us. You know, we can be polarizing, not because we're difficult, just because of what we believe. And from the very beginning of the Christian movement, we've been hated. We've seen this throughout the book of Acts as the birth of the church has come on the scene and how people were hated. Jesus was hated. His disciples were hated. And from the very beginning, we've been hated. Followers of Jesus around the world have been persecuted and arrested and threatened and beaten and tortured and put to death. And I've often asked myself, why does the world hate Christians so much? Why are we a hated group of people? Because usually our message is one of love. That's what Jesus said would be the defining factor in our lives, is the love that we have for each other. Our message is one of love, and God so loved the world that he sent his only son to die for us that we might have life, yet we still seem to rub people the wrong way. And there could be a number of different reasons, multiple reasons why the world hates us, but we shouldn't be surprised because Jesus warned us that this would happen, right? Over in John 15, verses 18 and 19, he said, if the world hates you, understand that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. However, because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of it, the world hates you. And so just the fact that we belong to Jesus causes us to be hated by the world. Jesus said, you know, we're no different than him. If you love me, you will be persecuted. And so Christianity and the gospel, they challenge our culture. Because we live according to the Bible, and much of what the world teaches embraces and what the world teaches embraces contradicts the Bible. And so there's a constant butting of heads, if you will. There's a constant friction and struggle because what we believe is different, quite different than what the world embraces and teaches. And so with these two worldviews comes tension. Guys, that's why we have to be courageous. We have to be prepared to weather the storm, to use a cliche, because persecution is going to follow as we share the gospel with a lost and broken world. So we might as well accept it and get over it and keep moving forward with what God wants us to do. So it's going to happen. When we share the gospel, we can expect conflict. You know, many of us this week have watched in horror at what is going on in Afghanistan. And we know that things are particularly bad for Christians and for women and for those who have helped the United States previously. And one of the field directors I sometimes look at, a website called Open Doors, it's a ministry that looks at persecution all over the world. And one of the field directors for the Open Doors ministry in the Middle East said this recently. He said, it's a heartbreaking day for the citizens of Afghanistan, an even dangerous time to be a Christian. He said, it's an uncertain situation for the whole country, not just for secret believers. He said, our hearts are broken and we knew this could happen. And we are not surprised, but this does not make the pain any less. So it is difficult. There is conflict going on. And so we in America who are very blessed to live where we are, and yes, we do receive persecution, but it's not like they receive. We who are in America should, and we're going to take time this morning to do it, pray for these believers in Afghanistan that their hearts would be encouraged, that they would be courageous, they would stand firm upon the Lord, and know in the back of their mind that it would just flood over peace with them, that whether they live or whether they die, they belong to the Lord. And so we need to pray for this small group of believers in this country because I'm sure they're walking on eggshells. They're uncertain of who to trust. And we need to pray that they'll find strength and wisdom and supernatural peace in God's promises. and pray that they'll be courageous in spite of intense persecution. So we're going to do that in just a minute, but I want to share one last story with you. I shared a story at the beginning about a woman who shared the gospel even though she couldn't read or write. When I was a teenage boy, I was very involved in my youth group down in Texas. And some of you have heard of, and it's something that we do in a Southern Baptist called Super Summer, right? Anybody ever heard of Super Summer? It's like a youth camp, but it's for kids that are more maybe developed in their faith. It's more or a discipleship type of thing rather than, some of the other kinds of youth camps. And so I went to Super Summer this one year at Baylor University down in Waco, Texas. And so the big group of us there, and one night we were in the evening worship time, and this guy comes out on the stage, could barely walk. He had cerebral palsy. He could barely walk. In fact, he had to have somebody help walk him out there. He was so stricken with cerebral palsy that he could not speak at all. If you've ever seen anybody with this debilitating situation, it can be very difficult. And so he reached into his pocket and he pulled out a business card. And he handed it to the guy that was with him. And the guy began to read it. He said, "Hello, my name is," whatever his name was, I don't remember. "And I'm a follower of Christ, and I want to tell you how you can become a Christian as well." And he shared his personal testimony and the plan of salvation on that little business card. And he would go out into his hometown and he would just hand those cards out to people day after day after day. And I can't imagine how many people came to know Christ through him just handing out a business card. And I'm thinking, if he can barely walk and he can't talk at all and he still shares his faith, what excuses do I have in my life? Because I can walk perfectly and I can talk perfectly. I probably talk too much and I should listen more. I have no excuse at all. But see, that's the wonderful thing about being a follower of Christ. People find a way to share the gospel. People find a way. So I would encourage you to find your way. Whatever God wants to, however God wants to use you, wherever he has you in your life, he can use you in a mighty way to share the gospel with a world that is lost and dying and broken. We live in a broken, sinful world, and this world needs Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the one that ultimately will change the heart of man. So that must be our focus, no matter what. And that begins with me. But it's all of our responsibility. But when we share the gospel, we have to meet people where they are. We have to understand people are at different places spiritually. And we have to know that there's going to be trouble that comes our way. But we still can be courageous. And we still can share. Because we have this life-changing message, and it still is good news. Amen? It's good news. Let me pray for these Afghanistan Christians, and then we'll have our time of invitation. Father, we just come to you right now. We lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ in Afghanistan. Lord, you know each person, man, woman, boy, and girl, that is your follower. Father, you know what they're facing. You know what they're enduring. You know their fears and their anxiety and their difficulty and their pain. Father, you know exactly what they're going through. And Father, it breaks our heart. It breaks our heart because these are our brothers and sisters. And Lord, we love them and you love them. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would watch over and protect them and keep them safe from harm or evil that may come their way. Father, I pray that they would be encouraged. I pray that right now they would know that we are praying for them. They would just feel this sense of wellness and peace that just overcomes them, Lord, that they would just be so at peace at you. Lord, a peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord, let that reign over them right now. And help them to be courageous. Help them to stand firm. Help them to know there are others that love them, but Lord, especially you. Father, work in our hearts right now with the decisions that we need to make for you. Father, we ask you to have your way in us now. And we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus, and we pray together. Amen. Amen. So Andrew's going to lead us in a song of commitment, and perhaps this morning there's been a decision that the Lord wants you to make in your heart, and you can make that to him right here where you are in your seat. You can make that commitment to him. If you make a decision for Christ, to trust him in some way, if you want to become maybe the first time to ever become a follower of Christ, or to join this church, or to surrender your heart and life to ministry or missions, or whatever it is the Lord wants you to do in life, whatever decision he wants you to make, we want to know about it. And so we would ask you to either scan one of the QR codes that's around of our building that will take you to a link on our website where you can list what your decision that you want to make is. We want to know. We want to know what you're going through. Maybe if you want to register as a visitor, you want us to know, have a record of your visit here. We want to know that as well. So you can either scan these QR codes or you can go to our website, BogieHillsBaptistChurch.com. At the top of the thing, there's a link that says Connect. There's a drop down that says Connect Card. Click on that. It'll explain everything you need to do. But whatever decision that the Lord wants you to make today, make that to him first. And then beyond that, let us know, so we can follow up with you and get you to that next step in your life, okay? Let's stand together as Andrew leads us in this song of commitment. You make your decision for Christ today.